allusion to hunchlack, the handshake, or what is called shaking on it with the hand, that founds, Heidegger says, the alliance, the accord, the engagement, Bund. The hand comes to its essence, West, he says, only in the movement of truth, in the double movement of what hides and causes to go out of its reserve, Verbergung and Bergung. Moreover, the whole seminar is devoted to the history of truth, Aletheia, Lethe, Laton, Lathesta. Well, he says already, in this same passage, that the animal has no hand, that the hand can never upsurge out of a paw or claws, but only from speech. Heidegger specifies that man has, quotation mark in Heidegger's text, has no hands, plural, man has no hands, but that the hand, occupies, in order to have in hand, man's essence. So, man has no hands, plural, but the hand has a man, occupies man in its essence. Der Mensch hat nicht Hände, sondern die Hand hat das Wesen des Menschen inne. The second thread leads back to writing. If man's hand is what it is since speech or the word as Wort, the most immediate, the most primordial manifestation of this origin will be the hand's gesture for making the word manifest, to wit, handwriting, manuscripture, handschrift that shows, montre, and inscribes the word for the gaze. Quote, the word as drawn, or inscribed, eingezeichnete, the word as drawn, and such that it demonstrates itself, thus to the gaze, und so dem Blick sich zeigende, is the written word, that is, writing, das heißt die Schrift. But the word as writing is handwriting, das Wort als die Schrift, aber is the Handschrift. Unquote. So instead of handwriting, let us say rather manuscripture, for don't forget the writing of the typewriter, against which Heidegger is going to raise an implacable indictment, is also a handwriting. In the brief history of the art of writing, Geschichte der Art des Schreibens, Geschichte in quotation marks, in this Geschichte der Art des Schreibens, Heidegger sketches in a paragraph, in the history he sketches in a paragraph, he sees the fundamental motif of what he calls a destruction of the word or of speech, Zerstörung des Wortes. So writing is a destruction of the word. Typographic mechanization destroys the unity of the word. This integral identity, this proper integrity of the spoken word, that writing manuscripts, at once because it appears closer to the voice or body proper, and because it ties together the letters, conserves and gathers together. I stress this motif of gathering together for a reason that will also appear later on. The typewriter tends to destroy the words, the word, the unity of the word. The typewriter, I quote, tears entreißt writing from the essential domain of the hand, that is, of the word, of the spoken word. The typewriter tears entreißt writing from the essential domain of the hand, that is, of the word, of speech. The typed word is only a copy, Abschrift. And Heidegger recalls this first moment of the typewriter when a typed letter offended the rules of etiquette. Today, The manuscripted letter is what seems culpable. It slows down reading and seems outmoded. The manuscripted letter obstructs what Heidegger considers as a veritable degradation of the word by the machine. The machine, I quote, degrades, degradiert, the word or the speech it reduces to a simple means of transport, Verkehrsmittel, to the instrument of commerce and communication. Furthermore, the machine offers the advantage for those who wish for this degradation of the advantage of dissimulating manuscripted writing and character. I quote, in typewriting, all men resemble one another. That's the conclusion. In typewriting, all men resemble one another. The path according to which the denunciation of the typewriter increased and specified itself would have to be followed closely. I cannot do that here. And finally, the typewriter would dissimulate the very essence of the writing gesture and of writing itself. Die Schreibmaschine verhüllt das Wesen des Schreibens und der Schrift. This dissimulation, or this veiling, is also a movement of withdrawal or subtraction. The words entziehen, entzug, often recur in this passage. And if in this withdrawal the typewriter becomes zeichenlos, without sign, unsignifying, asignifying, that is because it loses the hand. In any case, it threatens what in the hand holds speech safe, or keeps speech alive, or holds safe for speech the relation of being to man and of man to beings. Quote, the hand handles, the hand handelt. The essential co-belonging, Wesen Zusammengehörigkeit, of the hand and speech, man's essential distinction, manifests itself in this, that the hands manifest, la main manifeste, precisely manifests what is hidden. Die Hand verborgenes entbirgt. And the hand does this precisely in its relation to speaking by demonstrating, by showing, and by writing, by pointing to signs that demonstrate, or rather by giving to these signs or these monstres, ces montres, forms called writing. Sie zeigt und zeigend zeichnet und zeichnend die zeigende Zeichen zu Gebilden bildet. Diese Gebilde heißen nach dem Verbum Graphein die Grammata. This implies that, as Heidegger expressly says, writing in its essential source is manuscripture. Die Schrift ist in ihrer Wesensherkunft die Handschrift. And I shall add what Heidegger does not say, but which seems to be even more decisive. Manuscripture immediately bound to speech, that is, more probably, the system of phonetic writing. Unless what gathers together Wort, Zeigen, and Zeichen does not always necessarily pass through the voice, and unless the speech Heidegger speaks of here is essentially distinct from all phoné. The distinction would be strange enough to warrant emphasizing. Now, Heidegger does not breathe a word of this. He insists, on the contrary, on the essential and primordial co-belonging of sein, being, Wort, word, legen, logos, lese, Schrift, as, handschrift, handwriting. Moreover, this co-belonging that gathers them together stems from the movement of the very gathering together Heidegger always reads here as elsewhere in legen as lesen. Das Lesen, das heißt sammeln, gathering. This motif of gathering together, Versammlung, governs the meditation of Geschlecht in the text on Trakl that I shall evoke on Friday. Here, the protest against the typewriter also belongs, this is a matter of course, to an interpretation of technology, to an interpretation of politics starting from technology. Just as Was heißt denken will name Marx a few pages after a tweeting of the hand, so this seminar of 42-43 situates Lenin and Leninism. Leninism is the name Stalin gave, Heidegger says, to this metaphysics. Heidegger recalls the word of Lenin, Bolshevism is the power of the Soviet plus electrification. And when he was writing that, Germany was just entering into war with Russia and with the United States, and it is not, the United States are not spared either in this seminar, but there was not yet the electric typewriter. This apparently positive evaluation of handwriting does not exclude, on the contrary, a devaluation of writing in general. This devaluation takes on sense within this general interpretation of the art of writing as the increasing destruction of the word or of speech. The typewriter is only a modern aggravation of the evil. This evil comes not only through writing, but also through literature. Just before the citation of Mnemosyne, Was heißt denken advances two trenchant affirmations. First, Socrates is the purest thinker of the West. This is why he wrote nothing. Der reinste Denker des Abendlandes, deshalb hat nichts geschrieben. He knew how to hold himself in the wind and in the withdrawing movement of what gives itself to be thought, in den Zugwind dieses Zugs. In another passage, which also treats of this withdrawal, Zug des Entziehens, Heidegger again distinguishes man from animal, this time from the migratory birds. In the very first pages of Was heißt denken, before citing Mnemosyne, for the first time, he writes, quote, "Once we are drawn into the withdrawal, Zug des Entziehens, we are, but completely otherwise than the migratory birds, we are drawing toward what draws, attracts us by its withdrawal," unquote. The choice of example here, an example which is omitted in the English translation, the choice of example, migratory birds here, stems from the German idiom. Migratory birds is said Zugvögel in German. There is a Zug here, which is useful for Heidegger. We men, we are in the drawing, in the Zug of this withdrawal of the being, retrait, nur ganz anders als die Zugvögel, otherwise than the migratory birds. The second transient affirmation. Thought declines the moment one begins to write. On coming out of thought, in escaping, going out, in escaping thought in order to take shelter from it, as from the wind. This is the moment when thought entered literature. Das Denken ging in die Literatur ein. Sheltered from thought, this entry into writing and literature, in the broad sense of this word, would have decided the destiny of Western science as much qua doctrina of the Middle Ages, teaching, discipline, lehre, as qua the science of modern times. This is naturally a matter of what constructs the dominant concept of discipline, teaching, and the university. So one sees being organized around the hand and speech with a very strong coherence. All the traits whose incessant recurrence I have elsewhere recalled under the name logocentrism. Whatever the lateral or marginal motives that simultaneously work over this name, logocentrism, I would like to suggest that it dominates a certain and very continuous discourse of Heidegger, and does so from the repetition of the question of being's sense, of the sense of being, the destruction of classic ontology, the existential analytic redistributing the existential and categorical relations among Dasein, Vorhandensein, and Zuhandensein. Well, the economy imposed me for this discourse prohibits me from going beyond this first reference marking in the Heideggerian interpretation of the hand. In order to bind better in a more differentiated coherence what I'm saying here to what I said elsewhere about Heidegger, notably in Ussia and Gramet, one would have to reread a certain page of the Anaximander fragment, taken by Heidegger in the Old Zwecke, that is, of a text that also names Mnemosyne, and to which, with which my text Ussia and Gramet explains itself. This page by Heidegger recalls that in Kreon, which is generally translated by necessity, there speaks ekeia, the hand, in Greek. Krao, says Heidegger, means I handle, I bring my hand to something, ich behandle etwas. And the rest of the paragraph, too difficult to translate, sits. It handles so closely the German idiom, in die Hand geben, einhändigen, aushändigen, to hand back to its rightful owner, than to hand over, to give up, überlassen, etc. The rest of the paragraph withdraw the participle kreon from the values of constraint and obligation, zwang, müssen, and at the same time withdraw from these values the word, the German word brauch, by which Heidegger proposed to translate to kreon, and which means in everyday German need, in everyday German need, brauch is need. So it is not necessary, implies Heidegger, it is not necessary to think the hand starting from need. In French, der Brauch is translated by le maintien, what, besides indeed some drawbacks of false senses, exploits the chances of a double allusion to the hand, maintien, and to the now, le maintenant, that preoccupy the specific concern of this text. If brauchen translates well, as Heidegger says, the kreon that permits thinking the present in its presence, the present in its presence, das Anwesende in seinem Anwesen, if it names a trace, Spur, that disappears in the history of being as that history unfolds itself as Western metaphysics, if der Brauch is indeed the gathering, Versammlung, o logos, then, before all hand techniques, all surgery, chirurgie, the hand does not have no hand in this. The hand of the man, of man as such, no doubt you have remarked, and I will conclude here, you have remarked that Heidegger does not only think the hand as a very singular thing that would rightfully belong only to man. He always thinks the hand in the singular, as if man did not have two hands, but this monster, one single hand. Not one single organ, of course, in the middle of the body, just as the Cyclops has one single eye in the middle of the forehead, even though this representation, which leaves something to be desired, also gives rise to thought. No, the hand of man, the hand of mine, this signifies that we are no longer dealing with prehensile organs or instrumentalizable members that hands are. Hands are organs, but the hand is not an organ. Apes have prehensile organs that resemble hands. The man of the typewriter and of techniques in general, uses two hands. But the man that speaks and the man that writes with the hand, as one says, isn't he the monster with a single hand? Thus, when Heidegger writes, der Mensch hat, quotation mark, hat nicht Hände, sondern die Hand hat das Wesen des Menschen inne, man has no hands, but the hand occupies, in order to have in hand, man's essence. This supplementary precision does not just concern, as we saw in the first instance, the structure of having, a word Heidegger places in quotation marks, and whose relation he proposes to invert. The man has no hands, but the hand has the man. It concerns the difference between the plural and the singular. Nicht Hände, sondern die Hand. What reaches man through logos or speech, as well, can be only one single hand. Hands, that is already or still the organic or technical dispersion. So one will not be surprised, faced with the absence of all allusion, for example, in the Kantian style, to the play of differences between right and left, to the mirror, or to the pair of gloves, you know, Kant's text. This difference cannot be sensible, implied Heidegger. For my part, having already treated in my manner of the pair of shoes, or of the left foot and the right foot in Heidegger, I shall not go any further today on this path. I will content myself with two remarks. On the one hand, the sole sentence in which Heidegger, to my knowledge, names man's hands in the plural seems to concern precisely the moment of prayer, or in any case, the gesture in which the two hands join together, sich falten, to make themselves only one in simplicity, einfalt. Gathering together, Versammlung, is always what Heidegger privileges. On the other hand, nothing is ever said of the caress or of desire. Does one make love, does man make love with the hand or with the hands? And what about sexual difference in this regard? Heidegger's protest can be imagined. This question is derivative. What you call desire or love presupposes the coming, the l'avènement, say, of the hand, since speech, there is no love without speech. And as soon as I alluded to the hand that gives or gives itself, promises, lets go, gives up, hands over, and engages in the alliance or oath, you have at your disposal everything you need to think what you commonly call making love, caressing, or even desiring. Perhaps, but why not say it? I just said the word Geschlecht. This last remark should serve me as a transition toward this word, this mark, Geschlecht, that we should now follow in another text on Friday. I just said the word Geschlecht. That is the word Geschlecht. That is because I am not so sure it has a determinable and unifiable reference. I'm not so sure one can speak of Geschlecht beyond the word Geschlecht, which then is found necessarily cited between quotation marks, mentioned rather than used. Next, I leave the word in German. As I have already said, no word for word will suffice to translate this word that gathers in its idiomatic value stock, race, family, species, genus, gender, genre, generation, sex. Then after saying the word Geschlecht, I amended and corrected myself the Markgeschlecht, I clarify, the Markgeschlecht, for the theme of my analysis would come down to a sort of composition or decomposition that affects precisely the unity of this word. Perhaps it is no longer a word. Perhaps one must begin by gaining access to it from its disarticulation or its decomposition. In other words, its formation, its information, its deformations or transformation, its translations, the genealogy of its body unified, starting from or according to the dividing and the sharing of the word's morphemes. We're going then to concern ourselves with the Geschlecht of Geschlecht, with its genealogy or its generation. But this genealogical composition of Geschlecht, of the Mark Geschlecht, said the mark, not to say the sign, the linguistic sign, and not to oppose the man to the animal here. This genealogical composition of Geschlecht will be inseparable in the text of Heidegger, we'll interrogate on Friday, from the decomposition of human Geschlecht, from the decomposition of man.